I believe that the modern-day tongue-speaking movement is the exact thing that's being described in Isaiah chapter 29 here. When it talks about those that mutter, that peep, that speak in a different voice out of the ground. I mean, tell me something. All throughout the Bible, when does anyone speak with a voice that is not their own voice? The only time is when they're demon-possessed. I mean, think about it. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These other voices are coming upon people. And a man said, "What have we to do with thee?" And it's one guy talking. He's using the plural. And Jesus says, "What is thy name?" And he says, "Legion, for we are many." So we're talking about demons that actually possessed this guy and were talking through his mouth. I mean, they were controlling his body. And you remember there was the demons that possessed the man and threw him into the fire and threw him into the water and tried to drown him. And then remember Jesus, when he cast out the legion of demons into the pigs, they ran off a cliff and everything. Look, people being demon-possessed is a real thing that happened in the Bible. I believe that I've been faced with people that have been demon-possessed in my lifetime. I mean, I can tell you stories after stories about people that I believe were demon-possessed. And you see, the only time anybody in the Bible ever talks with a voice that is not their own is when they're demon-possessed. The only time they mutter and peep and say strange things and speak out of the ground is when they're possessed by devils. Now, let me tell you something. I've been to one tongue-speaking service in my lifetime. It was totally by mistake. One time, I was invited to a church, and I didn't know that this was that kind of a church. I had no clue. I went to this church. I sat down, and the service was going on, and there was a lot of music and rock and roll, and I was waiting for the preaching to start, and the preaching never came. It was just a lot of music, and people would talk a little bit between the songs. Well, all of a sudden, a girl that was sitting four seats down from me started rocking back and forth like this. And she started muttering. I couldn't tell what she was saying. She started peeping. Started making noises. And blah, 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 you know. And this other girl, and it started becoming violent. And this other girl put her arm around her and was consoling her and comforting her. I thought that the girl was having a seizure. Literally. Because I had just a few days before seen a girl playing a video game. She'd been smoking marijuana. She had a seizure. I called 911. So I'm thinking, this girl's having a seizure right now. And I felt bad, you know. And she just said, oh, you know, this other girl, like, oh, it's okay. You know. Well, I just felt bad for her. So, you know, a couple more songs went by. And one of the guys that was running the service gets up on the microphone and he said, if there's anybody who wants to come forward, you know, it's like an invitation. If anybody wants to come forward and pray and get things right with God. And he said, or maybe you just haven't spoken tongues in a while. Come on up here and speak in tongues. And I was like, whoa. Because I put it together. Because I'd heard about speaking in tongues, but I didn't know what it was, really. I'd never seen it. And then when he said that, that opened the floodgates. Now everybody starts speaking in tongues. You know, and people are acting weird. I got up and walked out, and I was scared to death. And I can promise you one thing. Listen to me now. Hear me carefully, this one thing. I can promise you that those people were not in the driver's seat. I'm not kidding. I mean, I promise you that. I mean, you say, oh, they're faking it. It didn't look like they were faking it. I mean, this girl was not in the driver's seat. And that's why I was scared and got out, because I said, this is demonic. This is weird. This is scary. You see, and flip over if you would to Acts chapter 2. We'll see the first time that speaking with another tongue. Of course, the term speaking in tongues is never found in the King James Bible one time. Now, it's found in the NIV. It's found in these other modern versions. It'll say speaking in tongues or speaking in tongues. But in the King James Bible, it's never found. The Bible talks about people speaking with another tongue or speaking in another tongue. And the word tongue means language, and I'll prove that to you right now in Acts chapter 2. Look, if you would, I don't want to be on this all night, but let me just quickly show you this. It says in verse number 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're speaking with another tongue. Now, that's not talking about the tongue that's in your mouth, okay? Tongue means language, and I'll prove that to you also. In the Bible, it says here, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem, verse 5, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, which means confused, because that every man heard them speak in his own what?
Language.
And then it says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Do you see how it's being used interchangeably? Oh, we hear in our own language. Oh, wow, we hear in our own tongue, wherein we were born. And then they begin to list languages. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying, "What one to another, what meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Now, is there anything hard to understand about what we just read? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I mean, here we read about people who are preaching the gospel. How many were preaching? 120. Read chapter 1. Get the context. 120 people read, not just Peter preaching. 120 men and women are out preaching the gospel, and God somehow miraculously caused them to speak languages that they did not know. I mean, these Galileans walked up to a Parthian and began to speak Parthian. They walked up to the Elamite and began to speak his native language to him and preach the gospel to him in his own language. Now, he was shocked not at what he didn't understand. They were shocked that they did understand. You see that? The modern day tongues movement is the exact opposite. It's people not understanding, right? It's somebody, and nobody knows what they said, or somebody claims that they understood what they said. But look, is there any gibberish mentioned here? No. Is there any heavenly language being spoken here? No. He lists earthly languages. There was a reason for it. God wanted these people to hear the gospel. People who were from all over, he wanted them to hear the gospel in their language so that they could take the gospel back to their native country. This is the, you know, it's the day of Pentecost, of course, in chapter 2. So, when we get to 1 Corinthians 14, has tongue, speaking with another tongue, totally changed meanings now? Now it's gibberish. Now it's falling on the ground. Now it's slapping people on the forehead. Now it's rocking back and forth and muttering and peeping. No, my friend, and listen to me now, they are demon-possessed.
That's right.
Let me just come right out and say it to you right now.
Amen.
And I talked to him. I talked to a guy. I was trying to win a guy to Christ. He used to be a Pentecostal youth leader. And he said, "Well, I've spoken in tongues. I know it's real." And I began to show him doctrinally. I got off the tongue stuff. But I was just showing him salvation, you know, doctrinally from the Bible. And as I showed him doctrinally, he realized that he was wrong and that the Bible was teaching salvation by grace through faith without works. And then he began to open up to me, and he said, "Well, that's part of the reason why I'm not a youth leader anymore, is because I started seeing some things wrong with what they were teaching." And he said this, I said, "Well, what really happened when you spoke in tongues, though? What really happened?" This is what he said. He said, "I completely lost consciousness," and this is what one guy said, okay, I'm not saying this authoritative. This guy said, basically, it was emotional, everything, the music was pounding. Next thing I knew, time had passed, and somebody told me that I had spoken in tongues. And I have no recollection of what happened. Now, that's just one person's experience, but that's what he said. And I told him, I said, "You were demon-possessed." You know? But I've talked to others who've said the same. They've described the same thing, and they've even admitted that they believe that they were demon-possessed when they spoke in tongues. Because, look, speaking in tongues is nothing more than something else taking over. That's what they're even saying, is they're claiming it's the Spirit of God. But number one, God is not the author of confusion. Yes. Number two, the Bible says the spirit of the prophets is subject unto the prophets.
Right.
When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're still in control of yourself. The Holy Spirit will never take over your body and control your body. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. And so these people who have some other voice speaking through them and taking over, and let me just prove to you why tongue speaking is wrong right now. Ask yourself this question. Why does no one who's saved believe in it? Think about it. Everybody who believes in speaking in tongues believes you can lose your salvation. Across the board. Show me one tongue talker that believes in the eternal security of the believer. You can't find it. And so if it's so real, then why do only unbelievers believe in it? Only people who preach work salvation or lose your salvation or turn away from all your sins to be saved and all this garbage, they're the ones who are the same people who are falling on the ground like people who are demon-possessed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, fell on the ground, rolled around, slobbered. You know, they said he foameth. You know, F-O-A-M-E-T-H. These Pentecostals, some of them foameth. Seriously. I mean, they foam at the mouth. You know it's true. Now, I foam at the mouth when I preach, but I'm in control here. Right? But what I'm trying to say is that the modern-day tongues movement is nothing more than the muttering and peeping of the demon-possessed people that we read about in Isaiah 29, Isaiah 8, and that woman that had a familiar spirit speaking out of the ground, voices coming out of the ground, you know? And these people say, whoa, God just took over my body. Well, something took over your body, but it wasn't the Lord's spirit, it was a familiar spirit. Yeah. And that's the truth, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's not being demon-possessed, and they're just faking it, and they're all... look, you can believe whatever you want. But those people, I saw them with my own eyes, and those people were not in the driver's seat, I'll promise you that. Otherwise, they're really, really good actors. I don't know what the point of that would be. Anyway. Oh, man, that was scary. I sat and waited outside, because I had a ride coming. I just sat and waited outside, and I could hear them inside. It's the weirdest thing in the world. I couldn't even believe it. But in Isaiah 29, let's hurry up and move forward here.